All right, so it's 2:30, so we'll go ahead and get started. Thanks everybody for joining us today for our last LSP update of 2019. So go ahead and get started with things. So the first thing I wanted to do is just give a big thanks to Christy, much as we did with Heidi when she went back to her campus, but the end of December is the end of Christy's release time agreement with SUNY, and she's going to be going back to New Paltz full time. Christy has been through the entire migration and implementation with us, and we definitely could not have done it without her. So, if you see Christy, I hope you all give her thanks for all the work she's done, and just all the different things we took on. Christy was there helping in a variety of ways. I also want to thank the New Paltz staff and everyone at the Sojourner Truth Library, and especially Mark Colvson, who's the dean there, for partnering with Christy to make this to partnering with SUNY and with Christy for making this happen. So, if you are engaged with anything with Christy, just know that after the end of the year, just come to one of us or to LibAnswers, and we'll help you rather than Christy. So we'll let her get back to New Paltz and do great things there. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Christy. So with that, positive news as well, that Yvonne Kester, who has been over the last 2 years at New Paltz as an institutional lead and the systems librarian, that she is going to be full-time with the SUNY Library Shared Services. She's going to remain based in New Paltz, but will be 100% release time with the SUNY Library Shared Services for at least the next 2 years. And, just we're very happy to welcome Yvonne. Yvonne is going to work in a variety of areas with documentation, training, and also, most of her time will be providing support for extended services campuses. And thanks again that to New Paltz and to the library and to Mark for making this work, because it was great to have somebody of Yvonne's caliber join us, and also somebody who knew Alma and Primo extremely well, and then also knew SUNY and all of the different configurations, et cetera, that we have within SUNY and our Alma and Primo. So it's a great move for all of us, and we're looking forward for Yvonne to join the team. And she's gonna be reaching out to the people she'll be working with, and we're working to incorporate her into everything that we're doing in the shared services as well. So we, a couple of months ago, announced that Esta Tosteati was joining the SUNY Library Shared Services team. And over the past few months, Esta's been doing Alma and Primo support. She's been doing some training. And beginning in March of 2020, Esta's going to be moving into a new position in the SUNY Library Shared Services as a SUNY Shared Collections Coordinator. So over the next few months, we will be moving a lot of Esta's portfolio of supported campuses to Yvonne and to others in the team. And then Esta will be working more in the SUNY Shared Collections space. So not exactly a fill of the position that John Schumacher had for many years. She'll be doing some of those duties, but to look at both shared provision, shared purchasing, and then also shared strategies of collections to move us forward in a much more collaborative manner on the collection ends. So this position will be evolving. So expect, you know, over the next year that Esta, Mark McBride, and myself will be working to try to tune in all of the things that this position will be doing to keep us moving years ahead while also filling as many needs as we can that are short term too. So congrats to Esta on that. And you know, I know that having Yvonne fill a lot of the duties that Esta's doing, that we'll have a smooth transition. And it's great that we have a few months to do that, to make sure that you know, that everything is clearly communicated and transferred. All right, so I just wanted to give a quick support update. We have monthly meetings with support management at Ex Libris. Yesterday we met with them. As soon as I have a spare moment, I will post the minutes of our meetings, which go down into more granular detail about cases we discussed, etc. So I just wanted to give a quick update on support and discussions. I know we've had some downtime recently. No downtime is ever good. You know, just trying to put it in the context of, this is the first bout of downtime that we've had. And as part of our service level agreement, we have some uptime guarantees. And I've asked for a quarterly report of our downtime. And I'll share that out with everyone once the cloud management services at Ex Libris deliver that quarterly report to us. And you know, we'll keep an eye on downtime and figure out what the root cause was and see, you know, just keeping an eye on it, and then getting some more data on that as well. So we've also asked for specific data on Primo speed improvements after the November release, which everything I've heard and the claims of Ex Libris are that this really brought Primo V forward significantly, shaving seconds off of searches, both from from an average search speed, and then really reducing the percentage of searches that were, you know, in essence failed searches because they took too long. So we've asked for data on that, and I've been told they're working on it. They had some issues with the tracking software that they were using, and they're going to get me some new data relatively soon, and I'll share that out as soon as I have it with everyone. And then if there is any action that we need to take to start to drill down on further improvements with the speed of Primo V, we'll do that. And to the best of my knowledge, I think we have all of our indexing or publishing issues resolved. I've not heard that there are any further problems with something that should be published to Primo not showing up in the amount of time that it's supposed to. So if you still have any indexing issues, let us know ASAP, because our understanding is that there aren't any more of those. And you know, apologies that we had to endure the few months getting to the root causes of those, but I think we're past that. So one of the things that we've been doing as well is looking at cases across all of the institutions. So the Shared Library Services staff team, we review regularly the hundreds and hundreds of cases that are open or in different levels of openness, or you know, tracking how cases are being closed. And we're bringing up problems with service with the support team. You know, we hope that there will be you know, positives coming out of our bringing this up to them. And I think we need to continue bringing issues to their attention with response time, communication, things like that. So we are having those types of engagements, and we drill down to the case level and also try to go up to a larger perspective and group cases together and then look at trends as well. We're also presenting different initiatives that we're looking to do to see what Ex Libris will or can do to support us in that. And right now it's unclear how open Ex Libris will be to use their customer success team to help us with new initiatives. And you know, the other option is that they will give us a professional services quote or tell us how many professional services hours they think we will need. And, you know, as soon as we have some of that information back from Ex Libris, you know, we will work with the appropriate stakeholders to see what decisions we could make. So one of the issues that we brought up is we were very unhappy with response time on some things that we thought were really core issues that, you know, we just kept asking, why does it take this long for you to you know, why does it take support this long to address a resolution or even really to communicate updates on it? And, you know, the specific example is that we have, I think, 7 or 8 cases open about ProQuest eBook Central integration jobs failing and not working well. And we, you know, we said, what's the holdup here? Why is Ex Libris not seeing this as a priority? And the response that we got back, which I was a little surprised by, was, well, your libraries set this as a priority normal. So, you know, we're a big company. We have lots of cases and we treat priority very seriously. And we didn't see this as a priority, pretty much. I mean, that was not exactly what they're saying, but that was the gist of the message that they were communicating between them and us, which did not make us satisfied. And we said, well, you know, we will encourage heavy use of high priority, which led to some polite but, you know, disagreements, we'll say. So then we kind of got to a point where SUNY and the support team and Ex Libris talked a lot about the need to make things that were a high priority, an actual high priority in Salesforce. So you can easily set the priority when you submit the case, but if you don't put the appropriate priority when you submit the case, you can always add a comment and say, please change this to high priority. I meant to have it high priority, but I put low or normal. So I then asked Ex Libris to say, well, what do you as Ex Libris support deem as high priority? And their response back was something that was a disruption or prevented you from doing your daily processes or involved financial matters, things like acquisitions, they said. And so I said, well, that's certainly a good start on a definition of high priority from a support perspective, but I think you left out the thing that is, at least from a SUNY perspective, likely the most important and would be a high priority, which is something that has, you know, is preventing a user from getting to content or is presenting a bad user experience. And I said, Ex Libris support, do you accept this as a high priority? Because the users are the ones who are just as important as anyone else or the most important party or stakeholder. And they agreed that, yes, high priority would be something that created a bad user experience or prevented the user from getting to content or did not allow the user to get to something. So please, please, please use high priority if any of these criteria are met. Things like disrupting your daily processes, making it harder for you to settle financial matters or receive receive items or close invoices, or it's something where your user is impacted in a negative way. We and SUNY will also be monitoring and try to pull up priorities where we think that something really should be a high priority, but we're dealing with hundreds of cases. We, you know, just to be honest, we don't have fantastic reporting tools in Salesforce. So it's a lot of looking at cases one by one by one by one. And, you know, I like to think that we're pretty good and we're pretty responsible at this, but it's really hard when we are dealing with hundreds of cases in a variety of different levels. Any questions on that? Sorry to go so long on that, but I feel like, you know, we need to spend some attention in talking about that. So just taking a quick minute to look back on the year. It's been a pretty impressive year. You know, that's what December is about, looking back on the year and saying, like, what are we going to do in the next year? You know, what's 2020 going to bring? We've done a lot. We didn't put up any numbers with how much training or hours of presentations, webinars that you've engaged with us on, mostly because we've done so much that I think we would have missed a lot. I mean, we've done, at this point, I would guess, well over 1,000 hours of presentations, webinars, et cetera, probably a couple of thousand. But one of the things that we've done is created well over 400 really well-developed FAQs, which serve often as documentation, which are getting heavily used. Major thing we did is we all moved into the shared library system. You know, I think our big hiccup was Primo, but for the most part, it was a pretty positive implementation. And it brought on a lot of new things. So there's been a lot of change, a lot of new tools. For 56 campuses, this is the first ever true e-resource management system that we have. We are planning on spending the next year doing a lot more support so that we can support and training so that we can help you fully take advantage of the e-resource management system, because this has not been a tool that's been in everybody's toolbox. You know, some things that were just major updates, which, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours went into this. Things like authentication. Only about a dozen campuses had authentication as part of their library management system. Everybody but one has authentication going now. And that took hundreds of hours of meetings between Ex Libris, myself, others, your IT staff. All but two campuses now have SIS loading. A lot of people, you know, Gail was the major leader here, but there were a lot of other people too. Bill Jones did custom application development work to get some other people into SIS loading. So, you know, a system like Alma and Prima, which allows you to use user data to show different services and to really tune in things, that doesn't work if you don't have accurate user data in there. And that's something that we made leaps and bounds over the last year. And it was because of a lot of work that led to this. And the other thing too is acquisitions functionality. Only about a dozen campuses were using acquisitions in any meaningful way. And Aleph, I think we're somewhere around, and Christy, as one of her final projects, is doing an audit on who's using acquisitions in what ways so that we can start to target support and training so that we're moving forward even further with acquisitions. But I think we have about 40 libraries who are using acquisitions in a meaningful way in Alma. That's a major thing of like being able to actually say, this is where my money's going. Here's how it's attached. Here's how it's getting used, etc. And the thing that I think is, you know, one of the issues that we don't, or not issues, it's a positive, it's a very positive that we don't talk about enough, is that we really didn't have any unanticipated data migration issues. Believe me, I've been involved in the data migration issues that we've had, so I'm not saying we didn't have any, but many of you have talked to other consortia, and as have I, and we had a really clean data migration from all the pieces that we put into Alma. And a lot of people have a lot of credit for that. Olis, I think, did a fantastic job of having our bib records ready. You as campuses responded to Olis when you know, you were going through the multiple reclamations. you as the campus responded to Christy, Heidi, and I as we were trying to kind of untangle two not great implementations and the results of it of link resolvers and trying to get from full text Finder into Alma in a way that left you as clean as you possibly could be on the data. So, you know, that is a major feat that I think we did as well as any consortia that I've talked to or better. I mean, I don't want to boast, but I think this was a really strong area. And I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of credit. You know, I appreciate all of their time as well. So that's looking back on the year. It was a very impressive year. And thank you all for all of your time. Everybody at the campuses, you've spent hundreds of hours. We appreciate it. We couldn't have done it without you. Yeah, and Gail's bringing up Natalie. You know, Natalie's definitely not on the call. She's enjoying her retired life. But, you know, Natalie was one who did a lot of work for us in getting us to this point. Lots of people. Yeah. So looking forward, so into 2020 and beyond, I mentioned this last time that we have an initiatives page. We're going to try to project out our initiatives and what the SUNY Library Shared Services staff is hoping to do in the near future. We have about the next year we have mapped out. There probably will be other things that come up and you know, we'll review them, plan them, try to make sure we have enough resources to do them well. If you're interested in providing an initiative or suggesting one, if you have a channel into a working group, start there. If not, submit a LibAnswers request and we'll work through the SLC channels to get that reviewed and figured out what priority that might have. So a preview, I know we put the URL out there, but I know you're all busy, probably haven't looked at it, or if you have, you might not have looked at it a whole lot. Gail is hard at work at getting a first cut, and I think a pretty good first cut of shared consortial ALMA Primo analytics reports. So, you know, trying to reproduce most of what we had in Aleph in one way or another, and we'll definitely have some more information and you know, some training to connect up what those shared analytics reports are. Obviously, Gail's going to work to make them as descriptive or put descriptions that are as meaningful as possible, but that's something we're working on. So Jennifer asks, shared as in network zone or common things like iPad? So not network zone. This will be common reports that campuses were running. And it might be reports that you could use to do iPads reports, but, you know, I don't know as if we're quite ready to say, run this, or here's a dashboard where you can just plug it in and it works with iPads, because, we still don't have enough people where we're comfortable that they're using analytics or not analytics, but acquisitions in a way where we could roll that out. And unfortunately, if it's coming from us, we feel responsible for it. I know others have been using analytics for things like iPads and probably have a dashboard for it. So if you're willing to share as a campus, you can wash your hands of it a little bit better than we can. So short answer is common stuff, but not that like aspirational package of like, for all of SUNY, here's a dashboard for iPads, ACRL, what's the other one? LARS, those types of things. That's in our longer term, goals, but I think we need to be clearer about how well that scales. But if other people are doing that, feel free to share with other campuses. We're working on CDI, we will be implementing that. Michelle's going to talk a little bit about where we're at there. We will be reviewing e-resource management in the NZ, figuring out what collections we may want to take on in the NZ, managing them, and figuring out what gets us the best return on our investment of time and effort. Local resource types in the network zone, we're looking at implementing those in the near future too. We chose deliberately not to implement article resource sharing in Alma during implementation. We thought it was just too much. We're going to loop back and try to determine whether this portion of Alma is ready enough for us to implement as some sort of a piece of the ecosystem of article resource sharing in SUNY. And those of you who have really well-developed article resource sharing workflows, we don't think that this will necessarily replace those, but there are many SUNYs who do not have any sort of article-based article resource sharing, and this would be a huge leap forward for a campus who's relying on WorldShare for ILL, which has no possibility of a user submitting a form. It's all mediated. So we're looking in, I believe, the July timeframe to have a conference to talk about shared library initiatives and more specifically in the consortial environment so that we have a larger, more forward-facing discussion about how we can collaborate better together and then connect that up with the practical things and projects that we're doing as well. So that's what we're planning right now. I'm sure there will be new things coming up as well. Any questions on that? Many of you have also been in the several presentations we've had on alternative access if certain big deal discussions don't continue. I don't have any information to share in this context about that, about those negotiations. But just a reminder, the recordings are out there, but we've presented on a few different alternative access strategies for articles, and we, the SUNY Library Shared Services staff, will help you to implement those strategies either in interlibrary loan or through your link resolver. Just send us the times, as much information as you can, to LibAnswers, and we will set up a meeting with you to go through and consult how you can implement alternative access strategies for articles, for whatever subscription you might want to think differently about. So we've been tracking on a variety of things, and we try to communicate when we figure them out or when we know that things that might be problematic come up. And Gail just did a report from the Network Zone looking at all of the different instances, and many of you have a vast majority or all or almost all of your patrons, they're going to expire soon. So just a reminder that expired patrons has a much larger effect in this unified environment than it did in Aleph. So unless you plan on updating those expiration dates via an SIS load in the very near future, you should use the update notify users job to update your expiration dates very, very soon. So once that user has expired, and many of you, it is 90% of your users or more, their Primo login won't work, which also means that the link resolver won't show them the appropriate services because they won't be able to log in to see the services. Any sort of due date will be truncated. That includes resource sharing, won't go beyond the expiry date. And it also has an effect on walk-in borrowing, and you won't be able to, you know, those walk-in borrowers won't be able to go to another institution and be able to borrow things either. We're recommending that you are liberal with your expiration dates moving forward, especially if you're not a campus who is going to regularly, like weekly or monthly, run an SIS load, because the longer loan dates with resource sharing, and then also the really negative repercussions of expiration dates as far as being able to log in and even see your account, means that you probably shouldn't be using the semester or the end of the semester as the expiration date, because you know, yes, some students do not come back the second semester of the academic year, but for the most part, the vast majority of them do. So try to give yourself some lead time. I would say a year forward on expiration dates would be something I would use if I were at a campus. And if you're using the expiration date because you want everything to be due at the end of the semester, our recommendation is that you use an end of semester event and then link to that in your TOUs to shorten that due date rather than to use the expiration date of the users and the patrons to do that. We'll be communicating out if you are one of those campuses that has lots and lots of users expiring, but you know, if you want to be proactive, you should look at that in analytics. I think Gale has a pretty good report that you can just use in the SUNY consortial shared analytics that will show you what your expiration dates are too. I'm going to turn it over to Michelle to talk about Central Discovery Index, where we're at with that.
Hey everybody. I know there have been a lot of questions about this recently, and when we first started looking into the Central Discovery Index, we were hoping to go live in early January, and the CDI task force has been doing an excellent job doing testing, and we do not feel that it's ready to go live yet. There are two significant fixes that Ex Libris is planning to do on the 5th of January, and they have to do with availability not working correctly and also the inability to suppress collections from being searched. So until that's fixed, we can't make any recommendations in regards to going live. We have been communicating a little bit here and there, and the reason we haven't been sending out official communication is because it is messy and we don't have anything clear to send out to everyone yet. However, we did put up the minutes, and I have a link to the minutes there from our meetings. And also Ex Libris had given us a number of documents. We have a base camp with them where we're going through and asking questions and they're responding. So that is also there in the LibGuide link that's on this slide. Oh, I'm sorry, Holly, can you hear me better now? So again, apologies that this isn't ready, but we really don't want to push everyone to go live with a system that's not ready. We felt that Primo was not quite ready to go. So, you know, we don't want to have everybody go through the same thing. So, you know, if everything was great after January 5th, there's a possibility we could maybe go live the weekend of Martin Luther King Day, but we don't know that for sure. So we will continue to communicate with you. And again, if you're interested in the kinds of problems we've been finding, you're welcome to go look at the minutes. Any questions about that before I move forward?
And you know, I'm not speaking for the task force, but I've been in a lot of the discussions, but, you know, I just want to try to characterize this a little bit. And you know, just because we definitely heard you on the pain of Primo and that was something that we would have wished would have been a much better part of the implementation. You know, I think the CDI, it is certainly much more completed than Primo V was before. We are much more ready. And there are other consortia that are going live with the CDI in the very, very near future in the next couple of weeks. We're choosing not to because we want to make sure that, one, we understand everything as much as we can. And then two, we also want to be careful that there is no further disruption in discovery, or any disruption is mitigated as much as we possibly can. So I think I don't want to use the word conservative, but I think we're being thorough and, you know, deliberative on this, because we know there's been so much disruption in this area. And I think we just got to a point where we fully understood the PCI and how everything worked because we had those indexing issues. And that's why we haven't communicated out a lot, is that we're trying to triangulate some answers back from Ex Libris to make sure that we can translate things well for you. I know you said all of that to Michelle, but I just wanted to kind of give you all a lot of appreciation for your work in that task force, and you know that we're trying to make this as smooth as possible.
Thanks, Shannon. What you said it better.
And we're sorry that many of you through Primo News got an email that was not in context, pretty much saying that we're on NA05, which is the server we're on, that here's the schedule. There's a lot of flexibility in that schedule where you don't actually have to go live until, you know, into summer. So I would say, you know, we can't control what Ex Libris emails you. So do, you know, loop back to us if there's any further communication about CDI, and we're trying, you know, we're in a different scenario and we're communicating directly with Ex Libris. And thanks to Nancy Babb and to Michelle for the work as co-chairs of that, of that task force. But there's a lot of others who are doing great work too.
Great. Thanks, Shannon.
Yeah.
So there is a new release coming in January. Primo, there are a couple of new things. There's going to be a voice search assistant that lets users enter search terms using their device's microphone, which is pretty cool. I have the link to the release notes here on the slide. Improved handling of suppressed records. This is a problem that was specific to Alfred that I know of off the top of my head, but the proxies that weren't working for direct linking, those are supposed to be fixed in the January release. Another thing that's being fixed is there were missing date parameter tags, and I'm hoping that that will improve some of our linking. They also are fixing inconsistent searches within course reserves using the course code. SUNY has several open cases about that. So these are the things that they say are being fixed, and we will, of course, do testing after the release, but I think there's some progress being made here. I also linked to the ALMA release notes, which I'm not as familiar with as the Prima ones, but one of the most important ones, I think, is that now ALMA will be fully compliant with Counter 5. So all of your SUSHI reports, those kinds of things should work much better now after the January release. You can go ahead, Shannon. Thank you. So Cafe ALMA is booming. It's been great. There's been wonderful discussion. All of the recordings are linked, and you can find them on the Cafe ALMA LibGuide. So the next chunk of sessions will be related to resource sharing. And we are always looking for MCs. So if you would like to MC a session, please do sign up. The sessions go much more smoothly if we have an MC. We had one without it, and it was a lot of awkward silence and text or chatting. So we would really appreciate it if you would be willing to MC. And of course, here's the link to the Cafe ALMA online. And thanks to everyone who's already MC'd and contributed to these sessions. I think they've been really helpful. Go ahead. And I think I'm done. Thanks, everybody.
All right, turn it over to Tim.
All right, thanks, Shannon. Yep. You can move on to the next slide. So I just want to start by taking a quick look at December's resource sharing volumes. And keep in mind, December is typically a slower month, plus we've only got about half a month's worth of data here. So the numbers are a lot lower than what we've been seeing in the past. You can see that Buffalo is still by far our biggest borrower. I'll be talking about that a little more in just a minute. And on the lending side, our big lenders are UAlbany and Binghamton. And Shannon, if you could move forward. And just one last thing, I will be posting the full stats for December in early January. So like I said, Buffalo is still our biggest borrower in the SUNY system. And again, that's mainly because they are one of the few SUNY libraries who have added the SUNY catalog scope to their everything search. So their users are just seeing a lot of records for items at other campuses and are then submitting requests. I have started to help balance things out on the lending side a bit. I've started testing out customized rota management at SUNY Geneseo to push more of their requests to Buffalo. That's been going well so far. So in the new year, I do plan to reach out to a handful of other libraries to see if they would also be willing to have their rotas managed in a way to help balance out our resource sharing lending volumes a little better. And Shannon, you can go to the next slide. Also, we're still seeing pretty low volume on the borrowing side at a lot of campuses. So I've been emailing a lot of places recently about editing their WorldCat open URL configuration to direct requests to Primo instead of Iliad. And the benefits of doing that by directing the requests into Primo and ultimately ALMA resource sharing, you can your users will be able to better take advantage of the 16-week loan period, the guaranteed renewals for faculty and grad students, and the lack of resource sharing recalls. We're also seeing really good turnaround time in Alma, so that, you know, diverting more requests into Alma could help improve the service to your users. And lastly, I just want to remind you all that if you're diverting requests from Iliad into Alma, you can still configure Alma to send any request that can't be filled to Iliad after it's passed through the ROTAs in Alma. And Michelle put together a really great FAQ on how to change these settings. She's also been helping, you know, answering follow-up questions to my email. So I just wanted to say thank you to Michelle for all of her help with this project. And Shannon, you can head on to the next slide. So here are our fill rates and turnaround times dating back to August. You can see on the fill rate side, things are generally improving, although we did unfortunately take a little step backwards in December. I'm hoping that might just be, you know, a sample size related blip, because again, the sample size isn't that big for this month. Although I suspect it could be related to what I was just talking about, our efforts to get more requests coming out of WorldCat going through Alma. Because naturally, if you're looking in WorldCat, you're not being limited to items that SUNY owns. So anytime a user lands on a record with no SUNY holdings, it's going to immediately get kicked out to Iliad. So I suspect that is partly responsible for that slight dip in fill rate. On the turnaround time side, things continue to get better. We're down to 3.8 days. Hopefully that is not a sample size related blip, and that's a true trend that we are getting better at filling requests more quickly. And Shannon, you can head on to the next slide. So like I said, we saw that decrease in fill rate, which is unfortunate. I am continuing to work with Ex Libris on potential issues with the locate process that could be suppressing that fill rate. So I will keep you all posted on my efforts there. And like I said, the turnaround times are getting better. And I recently conducted two online training sessions about advanced borrowing and lending resource sharing workflows that I'm hoping will help address some issues I was seeing with requests that were ending up in, you know, the less frequently seen request statuses. They weren't always being processed in a timely manner. So I'm really hoping that these sessions will help help those turnaround time numbers continue to improve. And I've added the URLs to the recordings that I posted. Unfortunately, I've since discovered that there is an issue with the lending recording that I will be taking care of tomorrow. And once I've done that, I do plan to send all of these URLs to the resource sharing contacts we have on file to make sure that everyone throughout SUNY is aware of some of these less frequently seen statuses and the fact that they do need to be monitored every day you're processing requests. So if you are one of the resource sharing contacts, please keep an eye out for that email. And Shannon, you can head on. Thank you. I just want to talk a little bit about some of the future resource sharing related initiatives. I know Shannon touched on this a little bit, at least a few of these. But the first one I want to talk about very briefly is Bill Jones and I have been working on improving the borrowing NSIP add-on, mainly to allow it for requests that have been exported from Alma to Iliad to allow Iliad to update the original request in Alma instead of creating a brand new request. Bill and I are pretty close. I really hope that we can have something out to everyone in the new year. And I don't know if Bill's here with us, but I just wanted to say a big, big thank you to Bill for all his work on that. And like Shannon said earlier, we are going to be looking at article resource sharing in Alma during the spring semester. And this summer, we plan to start looking at resource sharing in Alma with non-SUNY institutions. The big consortia that we would naturally want to be able to do resource sharing with through Alma is the CUNY system, and they all will be going live on Alma this August. And we do have some other non-SUNY Alma institutions that are on the ELD courier who would seem like really natural partners for Alma resource sharing. The two I've been talking to most are Ithaca College and Union College, but there's also places like Nazareth, St. John Fisher, a handful of others that we would want to take a look at. We've also started some conversations with the Connecticut State Colleges and University System about the potential for resource sharing between our systems in Alma. We just had our first meeting last week. There's still a lot of talking to be done, but we are having that conversation with them. And we're hoping that by, you know, expanding access within Alma, we can, you know, help improve that resource sharing fill rate. And for the article stuff to give libraries who aren't currently using ILLiad a better option for article resource sharing. So I believe that was my last slide. Yes, thank you, everybody.
All right, turn it over to Maggie.
Thanks, Shannon. Hi, everyone. Just wanted to update you on changes to the OCLC import profile. So these are the nightly jobs that are the new updated and merged files. So, you know, either from watching behavior or being questioned about behavior from campuses, which I greatly appreciate, because it makes me then look deeper at why records aren't being updated the way we expect. So what I did was I started doing this because we're going to be moving to the new OCLC server, and I split up the merges and update import profiles. It allows me to really focus because when they're coming in, they just said updates. So I wasn't able to like clearly see if it was a merge or an update unless I went into the actual file on the FTP server. So this way it allows me to be able to see the records more clearly and what is whether they're being merged or updated in Alma. I did some work. I did this last month on the new import profile where I unchecked the do not overlay and merge with the lower brief level. What was happening is if in OCLC a record was being updated and it had a lower brief level, it would not be updated. If it had the same brief level, it wasn't being updated. There's some behavioral issues with when it's the same brief level, and I have a case with Ex Libris. So I removed that because I figured we are using OCLC for our network zone records, and it should reflect what's in OCLC. So if they've downgraded a record, we will accept taking that record. I'm not really sure why some are being downgraded from when they're initially cataloged, but maybe there's varying reasons. I also changed the indication rule for merges and updates to allow for records that have been cataloged in a language other than English because they migrated in and they were getting updates, but the records weren't being updated. So we want to keep the network zone up to date. There's not a huge amount. It's part of our policies that we don't allow to have the records that are cataloged in a language other than English, which is the 040 subfield B, ENG. So there's only about 16,000 records, a little bit over. It's not a huge amount, but we'd like to keep them as up to date for the campuses that do have them and are linked to them in the network zone. I also edited the new OCLC import profile. I changed how it was merging. Because it was not updating brief bib records that had the OCLC record in. And for some reason, maybe the export from OCLC wasn't updating the record at the time, something happened. And so once I changed it from merge to overlay, those brief bib records will now be considered new and they'll be overlaid instead of merging with the existing record that is there. And it should improve that for campuses that are finding they still have an issue where they update a brief bib record and it's not being updated. And an initiative that I've been working on this fall was with the University of Buffalo. It's suppressing dedupe and pulverization for their special collections. And we're going to open this up to all campuses who are interested in this. I've created a workflow, how to implement this and then how to maintain this so that it's an ongoing practice, because in the network zone, when your records are linked, you have to coordinate, and I have to run a job to be able to suppress dedupe and pulverization on records, and they need special parameters for this to happen. So if you're a campus that is interested in this, there is a link here where you can fill out a form, and I'll have to reach out to you and some back and forth about what exactly you need so we can get this set up for you. But I'm happy to help you. And if you have any questions, you can also reach out to me. So I really appreciate University of Buffalo for allowing me to use them as my guinea pig. It was very helpful. Last month, a lot of campuses I was trying to reach, I emailed primarily the cataloging contacts, but also some institutional leads if there was not a cataloging contact, about brief bib course reserves that were personal copies or equipment that were in the network zone. So there were about 40 campuses I reached out to because there was over 500 records that were I was able to identify as potentially being brief bib personal copy course reserves. And thank you to the campuses that have already cleaned them up. It's been great because more than half of them have been cleaned up out of the network zone. And this is very helpful because it doesn't cause confusion. People aren't accidentally using it as an order record and getting linked. And also if people are using, not discovering these in Primo. So if you're a campus that hasn't had a chance to clean these up, just put that on your list to take care of, and I'll be happy to delete them when you have sent me the information. Just a few highlights from the ALMA January release notes. Thanks to Michelle, she put a nice link, so you can click on that to see all the release links. I just wanted to highlight a couple acquisitions resolved issues, because I noticed that these may have been issues when I was looking at cases. I do suggest looking at all the resolved notes that they have in the release notes, because there's a lot. And one was if you're receiving multiple journals there, and on the received items list page, there was an error happening, they have fixed this. I know a lot of campuses were running into, we have a PO, it's not closing, invoice was paid, everything was done. In the January release, this should be resolved. So that should alleviate some troubleshooting and concerns for campuses that were having this issue. Some resource management enhancements that are coming along with the January release. You can now do a phrase search in a simple search using quotes. So I think that's great. So you're able to do that. That's going to be a new functionality. For network zone, member institutions, which is all of us, you can now import records that have local extensions. Prior to this, you couldn't have local extensions. And as a result of that, if you wouldn't be able to put any local information that wouldn't get overwritten from the bib records that are being imported. The new order API, we have the API task force. I spoke about that last month. Well, there's some new order API functionality that ALMA is, ex-Libris is rolling out. It is primarily with OASIS at this time, but they're looking to also incorporate this change with other vendors. It's where that if you do have e-resources, it's going to look to the CZ to match on the ISBN or ISSN or another identifier. So that's a nice piece of functionality. And that's something now as our task force will be considering in our decision. And last thing, just because I thought it was interesting, in case anybody is doing anything with BibFrame and RDA, RDF, that AMA will be supporting exporting bibliographic records in these formats.
All right. Thanks, Maggie. Turn it over to Jennifer.
All right. And I see that we have 5 minutes left, so we're just going to go run right through this. Fortunately,
you can blame that on me, Jennifer.
No blame. Okay, go ahead. So first of all, thank you everyone who either presented or participated in training. As Shannon mentioned at the beginning, we weren't really keeping statistics for training prior to October, just because of how the training was being rolled out and that we were not using any kind of registration. But as of then, we started using LibCal, and now I have wonderful statistics. So we had a grand total of 33 events that had confirmed registrations of 877. And I can tell you that the December one still had 21 events, but actually creaked up to 800 for Maggie's session this morning. So huzzah! Nice round number of 800 for confirmed registrations in December. So thank you all for participating. It is making a difference, and we are growing the training program as a result. Go ahead. Thanks. So speaking of growing, upcoming training in 2020. First, I want to mention there will be some additional in-person training. It's currently in the process of being scheduled. We are struggling a little bit to find labs that can host, but we are definitely moving forward with getting in-person training going for cataloging, e-resources management, and specifically fulfillment unit configurations. So those are coming. Look for announcements coming soon. For online training, I'm going to show off the January calendar in a moment. Whoops, go back. But some highlights, we are having a session on local holdings records on January 9th, optimizing open access content in Primo on the 13th, and the course reserves basics on the 14th as you're getting your spring course reserves up and running. We are also in January, for the most part, and a little bit in February, going to present, building on the two, speaking of Christy and her amazing efforts, the two sessions Christy did this week on the beginnings of analytics usage. We're going to follow that up with a couple of sessions on functional area analytics examples, and we'll be doing we have scheduled resource sharing, Primo, e-resources, and fulfillment, and we're working on a couple more, getting them into the system. And then Michelle is going to be coordinating a weekly discovery or e-resources training session every Wednesday at 11 a.m. from January, second week of January through May, through the end of the semester. So that's something you can keep on your calendars. Speaking of calendar, now go. This is what we've got for January. You can see this and anything else that's been confirmed at the URL that is on the screen. So slickney.libcal.com/calendar/training. And you can click through on any of these to see additional information, to register for the session, and if available, to see any additional resources or Zoom information or anything else that this training presenter has put up there. Go ahead. Another piece of training that we are pleased to announce is we're going to begin a new model of presenting more in-depth multi-week online courses. They will be registration absolutely required, and there will be a fee. But the intent is that these are digging far, far deeper into a particular functional area. And it'll be small groups, interactive, and we're hoping to, given our focus on e-resources, we're going to be rolling out the e-resources course first sometime in the spring. Again, we're finalizing all the details on that, but keep your eyes out for announcements on that coming soon. And go ahead. In the meanwhile, I can now say that there are 4 guides available for your training needs. And they are in Basecamp Basics, Getting started with Alma and Primo training, I will point out that guide mostly consists of links to all of the other guides. And since not all the other guides are published yet, there's a lot of content that's still coming. And a search and navigation guide, which I've just learned I will have to update with the new phrase searching in basic search, but that's okay. These are live documents that will continue to be updated as we learn more and as we see what's relevant to the SUNY system. And then the sets and jobs guide that's been available for a month or two now. And go ahead. The guide, the two more guides will be available by the end of the year, one in analytics and one in fulfillment. And then we're looking to have additional guides in e-resources, resource management, and resource sharing available, hopefully in January. If not January, then it'll only slip to February. And then later in the spring, again, as we continue to finalize things, we'll look at guides in acquisitions and configuration in all areas. And I think that was it for me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you.
Yep.
So sorry we didn't leave time, you know, we're at time, but I can stick around for just a couple of minutes to answer questions. Anybody have questions or things that we talked about that needed clarification? Going once. Going twice. Happy holidays to everyone, and we will see you in the new year. That's funny. Let's see what Marianne is. Can everybody see the tiaras? Yeah. Nice one. Yeah. I don't know if everybody can see that, if it's sharing or not, but yeah. All right, I'm going to stop sharing and then stop the recording. Thanks, everybody, for your time and attention, and have a great day.